Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're tuned in to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, November 4th, 2013. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Louise Brady is one of six candidates for Sitka Tribe of Alaska's Tribal Council. She hasn't yet served on the Tribal Council, but she and her family have been working on behalf of tribal citizens for centuries. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
Before answering a question, Louise Brady takes a meditative pause. It's like she's checking in with 10,000 years of Tlingit ancestry to guide her response.
How about, can I introduce myself in Tlingit first?
That'd be cool.
Okay. My Tlingit name is Kashichtla, and I am Raven Frog from the Point House here in Sitka and grandchild of the Kagwantan Wolf Clan. And Kiksetti women are known as the Herring Ladies. My English name, as my nephew says, for Facebook purposes now, is Louise Brady.
Brady's great-grandfather co-founded the Alaska Native Brotherhood in the early 1900s. Her mother championed the Sitka Native Education Program in 1974. But her father's work as tribal court chief judge is the main reason she's running for the Tribal Council.
Yeah, when we're in ceremony, they say we're just imitating our ancestors. I would like to be able to imitate my father and his statesmanship.
She's also running to preserve tribal identity and serve as a role model.
And I think it's my responsibility. I know it's my responsibility. It's like, you know, when a family, as a family, we get together and there's sometimes three or four generations of the family sitting there and singing our songs. It's really, really special. And I just would hate to think that anywhere down the line that my great-great-great-grandchildren wouldn't have an identity, a tribal identity.
Throughout our conversation, Brady speaks from the perspective of a substance abuse counselor, a single mom, and a herring lady, all roles she has played. After her father's death in 1995, Louise became a tribal court administrator. She's proud of her work in 1996 that led the Sitka municipal government to honor tribal orders for protection. Prior to 96, if a tribal court issued an order for protection, the Sitka police wouldn't enforce it. That changed when Brady helped add a key piece to a general memorandum between the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the City of Sitka. With her addition, for example, if a woman needs to leave a violent partner, the tribal court can order protection, and the Sitka Police Department will enforce it. Along with domestic violence, Brady says substance abuse is a major issue for tribal citizens. She feels resources in Sitka inadequately address this issue.
Recently, the Bill Brady Healing Center closed, and I understand that, again, resources are limited. But when the Indian Health Service has identified over and over, year after year, that, you know, alcoholism is one of the biggest health problems in Indian country, it seems to me that, you know, all councils and the board of CERT should be aware and of what those repercussions are when the only Indian Health Service treatment center in Southeast is closed.
Brady believes that if the community allows shame to bury tough issues like domestic violence, sexual abuse, and substance abuse, nothing will change. If elected to tribal council, she wants to make sure the municipal government in Sitka is tuned into the social and economic well-being of Native citizens. One strategy she mentions is sharing the tribal needs assessment, an annual survey of Sitka Natives, with city officials. She wants people to understand how unemployment and average household income vary between tribal and non-tribal citizens.
I think it would be great for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska to share the needs assessment with the city assembly. I worked with Robbie Craig on the needs assessment, I want to say in 2004, and she was just amazed to find that the most reported income for tribal citizens was $12,500 a year. And to me, that's shocking.
Brady also says she would prioritize protecting the herring life cycle and fishery in Sitka if elected to the council. She feels that the tribe should set the policies and the tone for how its citizens are treated, and a big part of that is listening.
We're only going to be strong as a tribe when we're listening to everyone. Being a clan leader is making sure everybody is taken care of. It may sound like an impossible task, but I'll tell you, you know, sometimes there's magic in listening.
In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Louise Brady is on the ballot with Stephanie Edenshaw, Thomas Campbell, Lawrence Woody Whitmark, and Ben Miyasato. Harvey Kitka is the 6th Tribal Council candidate running as a write-in. Visit the Sheetgaquan Nakahiti between now and Election Day on November 12th to cast your vote. Sitka's large boat owners are being invited to help shape the direction of the marine services industry in town. Sawmill Cove Industrial Park has prepared an online survey to help gauge the demand in the community for everything from covered work areas to a haul-out for large vessels. The survey has been available since September. Sawmill Cove Director Gary White says only 130 people have taken it. The survey will close on the 15th of this month. He says the survey is a critical first step in what will be a significant public process.
We should have a screening level assessment by the middle of January. And so from there, we'll be able to look at where we're going to move from there, and all that will be done through public meetings and through the assembly and whatnot. But we're just wanting to hear from the fleet.
Much of Sawmill Cove's 75 acres are being used at the moment to stage materials for the Blue Lake Hydro Expansion Project. But the long-term plan for the park reserves an area for marine services. White says his board wants to know if Sitkins favor a deep water bulkhead dock, a haul-out, or large vessel moorage. Learning which, if any, of these facilities should be publicly owned is also part of the process.
One of the things we're going to look at is ownership, whether it makes sense for private or public, and then the community gets to decide on that through the assembly.
The survey has 22 questions tailored mainly to owners of boats too large to be trailered. However, there are several questions about funding that are likely of interest to the general public. And there are questions geared toward large vessel owners who currently bypass Sitka, but who might prefer to one day have their work done here. To find a link to the Sawmill Cove Marine Industry Development Survey, visit our website, kcaw.org. And you probably already know about mountain ash trees. They're all over Southeast, known for red berries that attract flocks of birds. But here's a story about a different kind of ash tree, one recently discovered in a big pile of volcanic debris near Sitka. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has the story.
Word came late summer of an unusual natural relic found near the Mount Edgecombe volcano just west of Sitka. So a group of scientists and friends headed out for a look. University of Alaska botanist Kitty Labowdy says it was a scramble.
They kind of led us through this big pile of, you know, logs and all that back up into a creek area where the bank had been cut enough away that you could see this pretty amazing tree.
What they found was upright and largely intact, but it wasn't petrified.
It actually looked like a tree, like a charcoal tree, but the outline was pretty amazing. And when you looked up at it up close, you could see all the structure in the tree. You could see where some of the roots were, some of the branches. You could see knots actually still in the structure of the tree.
It was embedded in pumice, an extremely porous rock created during explosive volcanic eruptions. Now you may know pumice as a rough granular stone sold as a cosmetic and used to scrape away dried skin. Geologist Jim Bechtel says this pumice fell as powder, grain, and rocks, and it quickly buried the tree.
It looks like it's still in growth position, but it was so hot that it basically completely charcoalized the tree in place.
And it didn't fall apart because it was held in place by the pumice until now.
From the geology point of view, the exciting part is this is the first time we'll be able to directly date that eruption.
Bechtel says the volcanic material came from Crater Ridge, one of several volcanic features near Mount Edgecombe. He's sent off some pumice and charred wood for testing.
We've got enough samples that we can get the chemistry of what the eruption was, and that will tell us, too, because each of those individual vents has a slightly different chemistry.
Bechtel says the information will be added to existing research on the volcanoes of Kruzoff Island, where Crater Ridge and Mount Edgecombe stand. It will also help shape a larger view of the many volcanoes, cinder cones, and lava flows found in southeast Alaska. Scientists already know the massive weight of Ice Age glaciers, which used to cover most of southeast, pushed down the region's landforms, and as they melted and retreated, it rose back up.
And we're thinking that the eruptions are tied to fractures opening and closing with the warping of the Earth's crust at or soon after deglaciation.
From a geologist's perspective, southeast remains volcanically active. Its most recent lava flow, north of Ketchikan, happened around the 1800s. The region continues to see shrinking glaciers and thinning ice fields, but Bechtel says it's not on a large enough scale to expect eruptions anytime soon. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Sitka.
You can see photos of the tree on our website, kcaw.org. The experts aren't sure yet, but they think it was a spruce tree. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 46 degrees in downtown Sitka, where it's raining lightly and it is breezy. In our listening region today, you can expect rain with highs in the mid to upper 40s. In Sitka and Port Alexander, southeast winds 15 to 25 miles per hour, becoming southwest 5 to 15 miles per hour late in the afternoon. Tonight, showers with lows around 42 and south winds 5 to 15 miles per hour. Rain showers today, tomorrow with highs around 47 and south winds 10 miles per hour. The sun rose at 7:20. It will set at 4:10 this afternoon. That's 8 hours and 50 minutes of daylight and a loss of 4 minutes and 25 seconds over yesterday. The next tide coming up is at 12:34. That will be a 9.9-foot high tide. And then at 7:18 tonight, a minus 1.8-foot low tide. Here's National Public Radio. Have a great morning.